Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Sirius XM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
What up, what up, what up, everyone? This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, amateur chef, and 10-year NFL defensive lineman, Lee J. Doosable. And you know I'm with my guys, 15 years covering the Miami Dolphins as a beat writer and socialite of Wynwood down here in Miami, Omar Kelly, a 2014 All-Pro cornerback for the Cincinnati Bengals. A man, Omar, that literally knows everybody, and I mean everybody. Adam Pac-Man Jones, fellas, how you doing?
Go ahead, Omar. I'll let you go first.
Listen.
The show today.
Listen, you also didn't say about Pac-Man, and I could verify this because I covered him when he was a college player at West Virginia. In the Mikey Williams episode, which is now up on YouTube,
correct?
You know, Brandon and Shady, they had a little moment with Pac-Man joking about, because everybody was going around talking about who you compared to, you know, when you're younger years. Brandon was like, yeah, I was compared. They call me Baby T.O. Shady's like, yeah, they call me, you know, they said I was like Barry Sanders. You know, because I was nice like that. You know, Shady was in this moment. Then they get to Pac-Man. Who they compare you to? Well, they compare me to Deion Sanders. And then Shady's like, what?
You know, Shady, hey, have you ever heard of Berman?
What?
Have y'all heard Berman? God bless his soul. But if y'all ever get a chance, just go watch some of the highlights that he had to cover me. And one of his main things that he've always said, to these Titan fans, he's the next eye of Deion Sanders. And so I'm working on a bio. I didn't mean to cut you off, Omar, but I'm working on a bio. Yeah. And that's one of the punch lines in my story, too. But
listen, yeah, and he was, without a doubt, viewed as the top cornerback, top returner in the game back in the day.
When he came out for sure,
West Virginia, the number one cornerback drafted. What, top number four, number five? Were you drafted, Pac-Man?
Six overall.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was
Biggie, special team player of the year.
Yeah.
Runner up my sophomore year. I should have won player of the year that year, but you know how that go.
We ended up missing the
big bowl game by one bowl game. I missed it by 4 or 5 votes, but I did my thing.
And so they was joking it. They were mocking him, man.
Why they trying my man Pat like that?
Bro, their college career was nothing like mine. I can tell you that. Now, Shady did have a lot of numbers, but I didn't play offense. So it's different for me to argue with Shady and B about numbers when these guys were the key players on their team and got the ball all the time. So
you left early.
I just played a key role, man. It's been a team guy, man. And, you know, my stuff speaks for itself. I might not be the shiniest guy. I might not say things right, but when people say my name, they know what come with it. They know that I did it all my way. I had fun doing it, and really, like, I was the bad boy in my era. Like, play wise, I ain't worried about play wise because I played till I was 37 years old, bro. Like, come on, you know how bad your body hurt, boys. What age was your last game?
2018, man, 10 years, bro.
Oof, how old were you?
I was 31, maybe 31, 32.
Yeah, imagine me running every day. Like, my last game, last year, I played against Tyreek Hill twice.
Damn, so that's tough.
That'll tell you what type of level, you know what I mean, I had to be running on. I played pretty good, too.
Hey, but fellas, man, guess what?
You got a good show tonight, baby.
We do. This is our 100th episode, Pat.
100?
Yeah, 100, baby.
Benjamin!
We made it to 100, baby. Nah, man, shout out to everybody at I Am Athlete. Shout out to all our people at SiriusXM. None of this would be possible without a group effort. Our guy Omar Kelly came on, and he's been on strong. Why are you rolling your eyes like
that? Don't forget Anthony.
Anthony, my dog Anthony, man. You know, there's been a lot of people that have come through. Anthony was big for us as a producer. I know he's doing well, whatever he's doing now. But, yeah, thanks to all the talent here. You know, Pac, B, Marsh, Shady, Auntie, Antoine, B, Ed Flo, and BB, Ed, behind BB, the scenes. Ashley, Nicole, Moss. Did I forget anybody?
Antoine Walker.
I said Antoine.
Flowers.
I said B, Flo.
Okay, we got everybody now.
Okay, we got everybody.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like Pac was saying, man, it's a loaded day today. We got a big show. Matter of fact, there's two Monday night football games, so we'll be giving you live updates between the Tennessee Titans and the Bills, who are actually about to kick off, and then later on tonight, the Minnesota Vikings take on the Philadelphia Eagles. Two playoff teams from the AFC in 2021 have struggled this season and now are 0-2 to start this season, which team has been more disappointing? The Bengals or the Raiders? We discussed that. Tyreek Hill has been telling people to put some respect on his quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa's name.
Tua Tagovailoa.
I mean, what a performance by Tua and the Dolphins. And the comeback win versus the Ravens yesterday, we'll discuss that. And Tom Brady finally beats the Saints as the starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but he loses his star receiver, Mike Evans, to a suspension. We'll talk about that. But first, Trey Lance breaks his ankle versus the Seahawks in Sunday's game. Now, Lance's injury came on a second down run on a zone replay, which he had the option to either hand it to Ray McCloud or keep it himself. He decided to keep it himself. Collided with Seahawks linebacker Cody Barton. Felt kind of awkwardly. He was trying to get up. His center, Jake Brindle, was trying to help him up. Then he went down right away. Now, Lance broke his ankle, and Lance had surgery this morning. But the good thing for the 49ers, and it's not a good thing that a young quarterback got hurt. I mean, Trey Lance hasn't played meaningful football. It would be now for 3 years, because his last year, he only played in one game at North Dakota State. Last year, he only played two starts for the 49ers, and now he's going to miss all of this season. So you hate that for a young quarterback in his development. But the good thing is the 49ers have Jimmy G as the backup quarterback, a guy that has led them to two NFC championship games and a Super Bowl. He came in and was cooking, right? He was accurate with the football, efficient. He had finished the game 13 for 21 with 154 yards and a touchdown and no interceptions, man. Let's talk about we're going to hear Jimmy G talk about Lance breaking his ankle with 2:20 left in the first quarter and him coming back into the game and what it meant.
Just like riding a bike. Yeah. felt good to be back out there. Just feel terrible for Trey. I've been on that side of it. This league is tough, and you know, everyone has their share of injuries, but that sucks for him, and feel bad for him, but he's our brother, and you know, we'll pick him up.
Adam Pac-Man Jones, the 49ers look really good now that they kept Jimmy G, right?
Oh my
they were
God.
Trying to trade him,
oh,
right? And they didn't get anybody. They didn't get anybody to trade for him. Now they, you know, were able to
typical stats. Jimmy G stats.
Listen to me, Pat. Wow. They lowered his cap number significantly, kept him on roster, and now a lot of people got them going far in the playoffs because we know what they've done with Jimmy G. So how smart do the 49ers look by keeping Jimmy G on his roster?
Well, Jimmy G didn't have another market. This motherfucker can't go nowhere. Where could he go? Tell me what team that called San Francisco said, "Hey, we want Jimmy G."
Nobody wanted to trade.
Nobody wanted to trade him because he was hurt.
They was going
to
get cut,
and he was going to get cut, so they could get him for a lot cheaper.
Bro, he played for what, $6 million this year?
Well, he would make way more than that. No,
I'm just saying we would have gave the 49ers would have gave him away for a third or fourth round pick.
Nah, they were. That was the issue. They didn't want to. I think they wanted nothing less than the second for him.
Man, I understand all that, but Jimmy G is Jimmy G. You just read off his stats.
Hold on, Pat. Don't be disrespectful.
Hold on. Let me finish what I got to say. First of all, let me finish what I got to say.
All right, go ahead.
Jimmy G had Jimmy G stats. We know that. He's going to protect the ball mainly. He's going to be check down Jimmy G. You get what I'm saying? So that's my point. Like, I don't want to say that he saved the day. No, he saved the day. He did what any other backup number two could do. A veteran quarterback. Same thing happened in Dallas. Take care of the ball. Don't turn the ball over. Give us a chance to win and let the defense go out there and play.
Let me ask you a question. Is there a shame in being a game manager? Is there a shame in being a quarterback that takes care of the football?
Yeah, it is when you can't win a game. When I need you to win a game, that's a problem.
Okay, when you can't win the biggest game or get to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl, that's a problem. But if you
can it's week two. He played week one. What it was. He was actually playing pretty good until he hurt his leg. If you ask me, it wasn't where. Come on.
Trey Lance?
He wasn't playing that bad, bro.
Okay.
I'm not.
What was it? What was Trey Lance's stats when he went out?
We know he's younger.
Look, in this game, he was playing.
Hold on, Omar, because we don't want to talk over each other.
Yeah.
Bose, what was his stats before he got hurt? Can I get one of the producers?
He was playing well.
I'm telling you, he had the same amount of yards that Jimmy G came in and threw. That's what I'm saying.
He had 30 yards passing. It was two for three.
He ran for 13 yards on three attempts. I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah. You do the math. Three attempts. How many Jimmy G had?
21. Okay. Listen.
You know how to divide. You're a smart man.
So you're saying those two passes would have allotted to him having a great game?
But what I'm saying is we're getting on radio and telling all our listeners that Jimmy G saved the day. Get the fuck out of here.
No.
That's not what we're saying.
What are you saying, Omar?
We're saying it was a smart move when they retained him. And it looks like a brilliant move now in position to save their season.
Only reason it's smart because of the number that they got him to agree to. And the only reason he agreed to nowhere to go. Y'all keep acting like this man could have went anywhere. Tell me three teams that wanted him. Tell me.
Carolina wanted him. A couple teams.
Carolina, they got Baker. Now they're.
But you keep forgetting.
Him and Baker are the same quarterbacks.
Oh, my God. No, they're not.
Airbnb.
What's the difference? Do you like Baker or Jimmy G better?
Jimmy, it's not even close.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Y'all were just talking about how Baker is this and that. We was talking this a couple weeks ago. How he's going to make Carolina look good and McCarthy going to have all these damn yards. Y'all was wrong on everything.
Jimmy G or Baker for you, Pat?
I don't give a damn. You can pick one.
He just want to be difficult.
No. Honestly, if I had to pick one, I don't know. Because everybody would say I'm biased if I pick Jimmy G. But if I pick Baker, they're going to be like, oh, you just arguing with him. You ain't want to pick. I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know. That's a hard decision.
The body of work is proven. Jimmy G can get you there. Now, can he finish the job? No, not really. But Baker hasn't even proven he can get you there.
Yeah, so did Jimmy G get the San Francisco 49ers to the championship and the Super Bowl, or was it Kyle Shanahan?
It was Jimmy. Was Kyle taking the damn snap?
What? Are you serious? All right, let's go on. I'm not finna argue with y'all. Tell me that y'all think Jimmy G got the 49ers to the Super Bowl. No way in hell. First of all, it was the defense, and it was Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, my God.
Listen.
Oh, my God.
Who's Debo Samuels? Are y'all telling me that this guy was responsible for taking San Francisco? Oh, my God, y'all.
Because they don't get to the playoffs unless he plays like he did versus the Rams in week 18. So, hell yes.
All right, what about the rest of the postseason?
What do you mean? He did
what
he was supposed to do, manage the game.
He didn't make the big throws. He didn't make the third down throws. Okay.
But who's back like everybody's supposed to be damn Josh Allen, obviously.
Hold on.
No, Pat. I'm not saying Josh Allen, but I'm saying like
he better than Andy Dalton.
Ooh, Josh, who is?
Jimmy.
Jimmy G.
Oh. I don't know. You can put both of them.
How many playoff wins does Andy Dalton have?
He ain't got no playoff win. But
zero.
But listen, how many times have he been there?
How many times has Jimmy been there?
How many times Jimmy been there? Three.
Oh, you're back.
But what I'm saying is, Andy didn't get there because of Andy. Jimmy didn't get there because of Jimmy.
He won't get no credit back.
That's what I'm telling y'all. What did y'all? We had the number one defense that year that we went to the playoffs 3 years in a row. We was number 1, 5, 7, or whatever it was. Top 10, 5, 7. Every year. But like y'all telling me that San Francisco was in the top 10 defense every year that that Jimmy G have been there. And y'all are sitting here, and you're not even talking about the running game. Like, the running game was so special the last 2 years. And you're sitting here telling me if the young boy had the same running game they had 2 years ago, come on, man. Jimmy G is not even a factor when you get to the running game.
We got
to
push this conversation forward. But this is what I'll say to end this conversation. How many other quarterbacks have played since Jimmy's been hurt, and what the hell have they done, Pat, since you want to talk crazy like that? And they still had a top 10 defense. Like,
are you talking in San Francisco?
Yes.
What you mean?
When Jimmy got hurt, where the hell did the 49ers go to end this conversation?
Bro, Jimmy G have been on every postseason. What are you talking about?
No, you keep forgetting he's been hurt 2 years. Where did San Francisco go when he was hurt? Where did they go? Nowhere, Pat. So what conversation are we having right now?
So are you telling me, I'm just asking you a question. You telling me Jimmy G is the key situation for San Francisco?
For them to win this year?
I'm just asking you a question. To be successful.
100%. For them to win the Super Bowl, it's going to come down to Jimmy G, because we know what they're going to do in the run game and on defense.
If you got any callers out there listening to this bullshit, call us in, because we want to hear what you got to say. If y'all think Jimmy G is the man, y'all let us know on here now.
This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Lijay Deuce, but with my guys, Adam Pac-Man Jones and Omar Kelly. And Adam Pac-Man Jones is a hater of Jimmy G. But the Tennessee Titans and the Buffalo Bills just kicked off. There's a player down off on the kickoff team, I believe, for the Tennessee Titans. But we'll give you updates as that game goes on. But we want to preview this game before they actually get started. It looks like the Buffalo Bills could potentially be the best team in the NFL for how they played in week one versus the LA Rams. Now, Tennessee Titans, right? We talked about game managers. Ryan Tannehill is one of those guys for the Tennessee Titans. And it kind of actually came back to bite them last week versus the Giants, because he wasn't able to, you know, those red zone drives, not to get into, he wasn't able to get into the end zone, and they lost versus the Giants. A big loss for the Bills tonight. Gabe Davis will be out with an ankle injury. At what point, Omar Kelly, and we know how you feel about Ryan Tannehill, but do you get concerned about the early struggles in games for the Tennessee Titans?
I think at midseason point, I think that we know who Ryan Tannehill is. He's a facilitator. He's a Jimmy G.
Quarterback is Jimmy G.
You seen what Cincinnati did.
The number one team in the AFC last year, right?
And what happened to him? Why are you saying that? They lost.
Tannehill lost the game, though. That's the difference. He threw
that's the same thing. That my point is the quarterback situation.
But Jimmy ain't throw three picks in the game.
All right, you got a point there.
Listen, we all know the Tennessee Titans are Derrick Henry's team. They'll go as well as the running
game. We'll see if he bounces back, too, coming up that injury.
Yeah, I mean, when is he not going to have an injury at this point?
Dang, why are you putting that bad juju on that man, Omar?
Listen, when you're that big, that much of a target, and you take that many carries and that many hits, it's only a matter of time. You know they view running backs like used tires. It's only a matter of time, unfortunately. But I think he's still got a good season or two left in him, and hopefully
– only two?
Yeah. You really think he
can – you're talking about before he, like, drops off.
Yeah, before he drops off.
Before he's no longer – three seasons.
Three seasons at the high level? At an elite level?
Yeah.
I think 2 to 3, Omar.
Yeah.
I think he just runs too – Pac, you know this. He runs way too high. Yeah. And we saw last week, Tay Crowder caught him.
Yeah, he did. He caught
him about 6 yards. But if you also look at this game, the Bills, you know, if you're better, they're favored by 10 points in this game, which I think is extremely disrespectful.
But if you say the Bills is the best team in the NFL, they should be giving up 10 points.
It's been 1 week, Pat. You got to think this game last year came down to the wire, and Tennessee.
They were the AFC number one team.
And if you look at their defense, I think they match up really well, especially since Gabe Davis, the receiver from the Bills, is out. Look at the corners, man. You know,
Roger that was last Curry. Year too. They don't have Julio Jones.
Yeah, Julio was hurt.
They don't have Brown. They don't have a lot of people in those games too.
He played well versus the Bills, and Devin Singletary just took a run for about 15 yards on the second play of the game versus the Tennessee Titans. But I think they match up well only because that defensive line from the Tennessee Titans. Now they were out Harold Landry, which is a big loss for them. He had 12 plus sacks last year. But Jeffrey Simmons has been a grown man in that middle, man. Honestly, behind Aaron Donald, he might be the second best defensive tackle
absolutely
in all of football. Had 2 sacks versus the Giants last week. Danico Autry is a really good player. He doesn't get enough respect for what he does on that defensive line. And Bud Dupree, let's see if he can bounce back now, 2 years removed from the ACL. That'll be big. But Christian Fulton and Roger McCreary on the outside, I like these young corners. And Kevin Byard, to me, He's one of the best safeties. I know you like him too, Pac. I think he's one of the best safeties in the game. So this will be an interesting game. I just think 10 points is too much. I know it's probably too late to put the bet in, but, you know, the Bills minus 10, I think it's disrespectful. What do you think, Pac?
That's a lot of points.
A lot of points.
I'm a betting man. I would have went with the points on this one. I think this game is going to be a little closer than 10 points. I do think the Bills win, though.
Yeah, I think the Bills win. I took the Titans with the points. What do you think about this game, Omar?
Yeah, I definitely think the Bills win. I think the 10 points is a lot of points. I really think that the Bills are getting into a flow, especially early. If you can look at it, they're trying to establish the run game, working on things that they struggled with last year. Obviously, trying to create an identity. Josh Allen is arguably a top five. I don't think it's arguably, but top three quarterback.
I would say top three, yeah.
Yeah, top three quarterback in the league. Ooh.
And just to update, Mitch Morse, their center is down. Buffalo Bills center is down right now. So we'll give you an update once we know more.
So to me, I don't think there's a team in or the entire NFL that's keeping pace with the Buffalo Bills right now. Obviously, injuries like Mitch Morse could drastically improve their dynamic or change the how they look as a team. But I don't see anybody messing. I don't see anybody hanging with them.
Yeah, honestly, from top to bottom, I think it's the most complete roster in the NFL. I mean, the one thing they were missing was a killer.
A closer,
a killer on the outside at defensive end. They went and got that in Von Miller. Again, this was the number one defense in all of football last year, and they're still missing people. Tre'Davious White isn't even back. They're Pro Bowl corner. So, you know, Christian Benford is a guy that's a rookie. He was a sixth-round pick. He actually started in front of Kyer Elam, who they took in the first round. They had him and Dane Jackson out there starting at corner, and they played really well versus the Rams last week. We'll see how they play against the Titans, but we know the Titans are going to try to come out and establish that run game. And right now it's 3rd and 9. This is where you want to be if you're the Tennessee Titans. You want to be in 3rd and medium because Josh Allen likes to get the ball in his hands quick. He also becomes a runner in situations like this, so you have to be careful.
And
here he goes, taking off and running.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I think he got it.
Yes, yeah.
He dove and got that first down.
About two people missed Josh Allen, and he was able to jump over one guy and get the first down on a 10 or 11 yard scamper.
Those are the right situations there. And plays that Jimmy G can't make, which is why Pack is always taking the dump on.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
And it looked like they had a spy for him, but he got lost. He got lost, you know, in the scrum right there. And Jeffrey Simmons almost had an opportunity to take him down short of the first down. He just slides off him. That lets you know how big Josh Allen is. I mean, 6'5". Listen, at 240. I think it's more 250, 255. And this dude drags defensive linemen and linebackers. So right now, Tennessee is actually playing well. That's where you want to be, though. You want to get to 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, and make Josh Allen become a runner, right? But you don't want him to run and throw the ball down the field. So, again, I think that loss with Gabe Davis is a major loss. We'll keep you updated on this game as it continues.
Josh Gordon was activated.
Oh, it's nothing. Josh Gordon, I know, Pat, you always talk about, you know, Josh Gordon getting more and more opportunities. The Tennessee Titans activated him today, so we'll see, you know, how much he plays today, and maybe he can give a little boost on the outside for the Tennessee Titans.
I'm eager to see what he can do, you know, with all the stuff that he's been through. If he can come out the game with 50 yards, man, I don't know. If he can come out the game with anything.
Yeah, it'll be big.
Catch shit.
Hi, this is Lindsay Rhodes, host of the NFL Roadshow podcast. Now that the NFL season is finally underway, we'll be filling your podcast feeds with three fantastic podcasts every week. On Mondays, we'll be reacting to all of the action from the weekend's games. Wednesdays are for a deeper dive into one specific topic. And Fridays, we'll give you a bite-sized episode with all of my various fantasy football thoughts. You can listen to all of these NFL Roadshow episodes on the SXM app or wherever you stream your podcasts.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Welcome back to I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Lee J. Doosable, with my guys, Brandon Marshall, Omar Kelly, and Adam Pac-Man Jones. And two teams that made the playoffs last year in the AFC have started this season 0-2. First, let's talk about the Cardinals and how they beat the Raiders. And there's no way they should have won that game. I'm talking about the Cardinals were down 20-0 at one point, and 23-7 with less than 9 minutes left in the game. But Kyler Murray, I know we've gotten on him. They put that clause in his contract about film study, him having at least 4 hours of film study. But Kyler Murray, I got to give you your respect and your flowers. My goodness, did you put the team on your back? After scoring, you had to go for two, right? Because you were down by 15. You had a 28-second play where you literally were playing backyard football.
World record?
It has to be a world record. As a defensive lineman, it pisses me off. You know why it pisses me off, B. Marsh?
Why?
Because there's only two guys rushing. There's five guys on the offensive line hitting you, and you chasing around Mighty Mouse, knowing that this guy can run a 4-3 and is quick as hell. So you should see the two defensive linemen on that play. They were just out of gas. They were done. And then everybody else, it was nine other dudes on the field. They in the damn end zone.
Plaster. You know? What happened to Plaster, Pac?
They did plastered, and Kyler Murray ran into the end zone and got a 2-point conversion.
Right.
What was the defensive coordinator thinking? My thing is, when you're playing a guy like that, you got to blitz him in those situations, make him make a fast decisions. Because if you let him play backyard football, he's got the advantage. He has the whole
spy
field
on him too, right?
There ain't no spy fast enough, bro. It's like Lamar Jackson. There's not a spy fast enough.
Yeah.
But not after getting that 2-point conversion, right? The Raiders went out there, gave the ball back to the Cardinals, and then I believe Kyler Murray went on like a 7 or 8 minute drive where he scored, you know, with no time left on the clock. Now, there was a questionable PI call that gave the Cardinals another chance, but Kyler Murray, again, putting the team on his back because Hollywood Brown had a big drop. AJ Brown had a big drop. So he scores. Now they need a 2-point conversion with no time left on the clock. And Brandon, this throw that he had to AJ Brown
for the beautiful. For the two-point,
I don't know how he saw him. First of all, it was between three defenders, and maybe his height helped him at 5'7" or 5'8", wherever he's at.
If you go back and watch that play,
yeah,
when he threw it, he immediately looked up.
You knew it was good.
No, he immediately looked up at the scoreboard, all right, to see if it was a completed pass because he couldn't see.
Couldn't see.
He was so short.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how he saw him. Like, it was between three different defenders, and he put it really where only A.J. Brown could catch it. I mean, hell of a gutsy play. But then let's talk about the downfall of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Before you do that, like, that just shows, like, you know, for all of our listeners out there, just muscle memory, right? You know, how these guys just work so hard on these few plays, right? And it's just a belief and a faith that my guy's going to be there. I know A.J. Green is going to run that back in line. He's supposed to be here right now. He let it go, threw it over everybody's head, hands, and AJ Green was right there, made a phenomenal catch. Like, that was a tough catch.
It was a ridiculous catch.
Right.
Ridiculous.
Come on, that tight window.
Yeah. I just want to give you guys an update before I go to Pac. Hey,
this can Monday. I say one thing?
Hold on, Pac.
Last year,
Pac, I just got to give an update. It's 7-10 right now. The Buffalo Bills are up. 4th-and-1, Jeffrey Simmons jumped off sides. The Bills are marching to try to score. They're at the Tennessee Titans 5-yard line. You don't like the word marching?
That boy sound like Trico?
It's new media, B.
Trico?
You sound like Trico.
The Bills got the ball deep.
Hey, B, I just stay away from those words and just say my words. You know what I mean?
Damn, that boy went to broadcast boot camp.
4th-and-1, Jeffrey Simmons. You can't jump off sides there. But it looks like there could potentially have been a timeout call before that happened. So it looks like the Buffalo Bills will actually still go for it. They're on the Tennessee Titan 4-yard line right now. And also the Monday night game between the Minnesota Vikings and Eagles just started. It looked like Jalen Hurts just had a big completion. But there is a flag on the play.
They start blocking.
Yeah. Pat, what was you about to say? Go ahead.
Bruh, it's week two. Like, why are you panicking in this week two? Guess what? Last year we started off 0-2 last year.
No, y'all didn't.
Well, who we played first week?
Who's we? I don't know. We
said the Bengals.
I'm talking about the Bengals.
Well, I don't know who he is. You
because he just said it. Obviously, are you paying attention?
Three teams.
Hold on. Hold on. Because I hate when I hate when Brandon do this because he act like nobody's fucking paying attention. And boss man, you need to pay attention to the conversation, boss man. Now, I'm gonna rephrase the question that Bo's just said. He said two teams that was tell him what you said.
I said two teams that were in the playoffs in the AFC.
All right,
that should have started.
Keep
this
going.
0-2.
And what was the teams?
It was your Bengals and the Raiders.
Okay. All right. So Brandon, do you understand the conversation that we're on?
No, I do. But when you said we threw me.
I'm saying the Bengals. You know, that's the only team that I say we about, unless I'm talking about Cowboys, I'm athlete.
You said it with the Dolphins earlier.
The Broncos, today. Yeah. Like we. Like what do you mean we? We.
Oh,
you,
I see what's going on.
You're a media guy now. You don't play football anymore.
Oh, hold on. Hey, Pernell, hold on. Is the producers on here? Pernell. Are any is it? Do y'all hear this?
Yeah,
it's conspiracy. That's all I just
tell you. Can I just tell you? Don't ask me.
Conspiracy.
Hey, but what I was saying was, bro, we didn't start the season that good last year. You talking about? It. Yes, we did.
No, I said you didn't start 0-2 because no team that started 0-2 last year made the playoffs.
Damn. Okay. So the Bengals are out.
So who did? Then we play. Did we not play the Chargers first week last year?
Did y'all win that game?
No, we lost.
Maybe y'all won week two then.
No, we played the Browns.
Nah, but I'm telling you, Pat, you might want to go back and look at it because no team the last 2 years since they went to the 14-team playoff bracket has been to the playoffs starting 0-2.
So that means you guys are done.
Might be. But Bro. Quick update, Stephon Diggs scores a touchdown, a pass from Josh Allen on 4th-and-1. The Buffalo Bills are up 17-7. In the second quarter with 1 minute left.
And Josh Allen rolls out to his left, throws across his body back to the right side of the field, finds Stephon Diggs in the back of the end zone.
Are you the play-by-play guy now?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's how they be.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, so can we talk about these terrible Raiders now? Led by a terrible coach.
Dang. That was your best friend for a second, huh?
No, it went.
When y'all started up, what did y'all start off 7-0 that year? 6-0, and then didn't make the playoffs.
No, I think me, you, and Shady was just having this. I got my notes right here. That's why I keep going back to the conversations. Me, you, and Shady was just having this conversation, and I think me and you agreed that Adams would not have the year that he had in Green Bay.
Right.
Why are you looking like that, bro?
Because he went for 140 in week one.
Okay, man.
Yeah, you forgot that. You forgot that. Yeah.
What did he do week two?
Like, what did he just say? It's week two.
I'm just saying.
I went for 140 in week one.
Who they played week one?
The Chargers. Yeah, go ahead and say something now. The Chargers defense is crazy good too.
Right. And he went up front
on them boys.
Only thing I'm saying is, man, you can see
in there. He's in there.
I'm sorry, y'all. Jalen Hurts scores the first touchdown. That was my player prop bet. First touchdown score, Jalen Hurts.
So how much you won?
Don't worry about that.
$25. That boy won $25.
Oh,
that boy, you should have bet more, boy.
I probably should have.
Jalen Hurts, he's going. Hey, listen, I'm telling you.
Yeah, this could be. But, yeah, getting back to the Raiders, like, you can't be up 20-0 and up 23-7 with, like, 8 minutes left in the game and lose that game. You're talking about just an epic fail. And then Hunter Renfro, right? They couldn't get him involved in week one. Back-to-back fumbles, B, in overtime. Right? He got fortunate enough to get the first one back, his teammate. And then the second one, like, you got to understand the situation. You got a really good kicker in Daniel Carlson. Bro, after that first contact, get your butt on the ground. Yeah. He's fighting for yards, probably trying to make up for the previous fumble. Fumbles the ball. Arizona scoops it up, scores. The Raiders lose the epic game. And a loss like that can really just mess up the mentality of the whole team. Because, again, you're not supposed to lose a game like that, 23-7.
And he's a good player. Not only the whole team. I think the team will be fine. But my experience with Josh McDaniels, You know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he benches him for a quarter or do something dumb. And something.
Why?
The hell is it, hold on. Is it, hold on. Let me ask you something, Bose. Is it his fault that they lost the league and lost the game?
I know. No, it's not his fault. But Josh McDaniels, one thing he's not for is let, you know, his team's beating themselves. So pre-snap penalties, you know, turnovers that you can control.
Yeah.
Right? Like that. Like he can control that. So they're the entire team, the whole organization – Wednesday, including the equipment managers, all right, and grounds crew will be doing ball security drills
so in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah, Josh McDaniels, he don't play around. And, wow. And back to my point, I wouldn't be surprised if he benches him, that'd right, for a quarter.
Family, bro.
What's going to end up happening?
It was 20-0 at the end of the second quarter. What are you talking about? How should he get? Benched for a game and they up 20-0 at halftime? And you talking about one play? What the hell are you talking about, Brandon?
He fumbled the ball twice.
He did,
Brandon.
Back plays.
It doesn't matter. They was up 20-0. So are you telling me these are the two plays that changed the whole game?
No. Oh man, big yeah, injury on the
give
field.
An update. There's been a lot of injuries. Taylor Lewan went down in this game earlier. Mitch Morse, the center from Buffalo. Now the starting quarter, Dane Jackson. They're bringing an ambulance out there on the field to get him. Just praying that he's okay.
It didn't look good.
Yeah,
he was going in for a tackle, and what you guys call on the defensive side, topping off another defender, Buffalo Balls. Defender. Well, that's what you guys say.
Ain't that the ones, I just looked at it. That right there hurt too.
Yeah, just praying that Dane.
But B, that's the only thing I was saying was, let's talk about the back end. We haven't talked nothing about the back end, what happened on the back end of the game. Like,
yeah, but that was the back end. He fumbled twice, Pac. That's what we're talking about. Right. So Josh McDaniels, yeah, there's other plays. He's going to, you know how those Patriot guys are. They're going to come in and they're going to put up the plays that beat you. Right. And the most, the two most significant plays are those fumbles.
100%. I mean, it lost them the game. It was back to back plays. Yeah. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Lee J. Dules, but with my guys, Brandon Marshall and Adam Pac-Man Jones. And we're talking about the Raiders and how they had an epic fail and lost to the Arizona Cardinals, being up 23-7 late in that game. And we go over to Pac-Man's Bengals, who also had an epic fail. Cooper Rush, both of your teams. So, Pac, who were you, before we get into this, who were you actually going for this game? Because you played for both franchises.
You know who I was going for.
Cooper Rush, man.
B, who was I going for, B? What the hell kind of question is that? He asked me, who was I going for?
Jerry's your guy.
And Jerry is everything to me. Jerry is my lifeline. He always told me that, like, look, Pac, I'm your lifeline. Whenever you need some, you don't hesitate to call me. Yeah. But during the game, I had a chance to have Michael Irvin on another show that we do with Believe in the Bengals, where we talk about the Bengals. But I'm a Bengals guy because of the rival. But anyway, make a long story short, that hurts. It was a horrible game, first and foremost. And we just made it rain and spent $70 million.
For nothing. 70.
You hear me, B? B, we spent $70 million.
For nothing.
For goddamn nothing. And you know what? This when I knew it, Bo. This when I knew it, because I was talking to Mike Irvin the other day. He said, look, man, let me tell you something. He said, man, everybody talks about how bad the Bengals line was last year. He said they was bad. Yeah, they was. But collectively, they made it to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Which is the highest level that you can make. Ooh. And he was like, when they come back to it, you didn't sign but one of them from that line. And you know, you think about things like, oh no, we need to go get a whole new line because of the championship game, but you never go back and dialect the whole season about who's gritty, who play with heart, who loves playing the game, even though he might not be as talented as everybody else. But you know what I'm saying? We know that we can run behind Brandon on third down because we just know him. We know he's going to give us
everything.
Yeah. And then we go out and hire guys on tape. Oh, this guy look good because he playing with Tom Brady. this guy look good because he got other three Pro Bowlers playing with him. But I truly think it's early in the season. I don't want to jump to conclusions, but I think we should have kept some of the core guys from last year. And right now, only thing I'm saying is, like, Joe, if you go back and look at the game, Joe averaging 3 yards a carry, but time he get the ball in the backfield, he got to make 3-4 moves.
Yeah.
The only thing
we're going to talk about that too.
Only thing that can change this is put Joe Burrows up under the center and make them respect the run game and the passing game. Yeah, 90% of our plays have been out the shotgun right now. We only had two plays basically up under center. So
well, you remember the preseason predictions that we had?
Yeah.
And Pac said what? That the running back could potentially have 2,000 yards.
I said he's going to have 2K. All purpose. Right. That's what I said.
And listen, with this offensive line starting like this, they absolutely should be feeding him.
Yeah.
Right? Just until that offensive line settle in. Pac, and dudes, you can speak to this too. It's not always about the individual when it comes to the offensive line. It's about the unit.
Correct.
Right. That chemistry, that continuity is critical, how they play together. So this team, I mean, this offensive line, they're still finding their way. They can still turn it around, right, dudes?
Yeah, perfect example. If you look at the Giants when they won that Super Bowl in 2007, they didn't really have any Pro Bowlers on there. It was David Dill. They had Kareem. Jackson, they had Sean O'Hare, who was a Pro Bowler, but not that year.
A couple years.
And Chris Knee, who was kind of like going into his Pro Bowl years. But that was the best group I've ever seen collectively work together. Yeah. And that's what they need. We talked about this, right? Offenses are going to start slower during the season because a lot of these guys didn't even play in preseason games. I mean, Lyle Collins was hurt most of camp. He didn't get in there towards the end of camp. And he had his struggles Sunday versus the Cowboys. I mean, everybody has had their struggles against Michael Parsons, but he had some struggles against them. But, I mean, that offensive line, just the communication, because there were times, Brandon and Pack, where there'd be six guys at the line of scrimmage for the Dallas Cowboys, and they would slide, and the Cowboys would drop out, only have three guys rush, and a guy would be free to hit Joe Burrow.
Right, sliding the wrong fucking way. No, you're exactly right, Bose.
No, he's – well, he is, B. You guys are right. But first off, the communication needs to start with the damn play caller.
Yeah.
Why are you leaving him one-on-one? How many times did we see him one-on-one? Where's the chip? Where's the double?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was by himself the whole – and they even moved him inside.
Yeah.
He had a one-on-one, and the center went away from him.
I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Support I Am Athlete Tonight with a 5-star rating and by leaving a review. That's a big deal, guys. Stop being lazy. Pick up your phones and leave a review and give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Want more? Catch the full 2 hours of I Am Athlete Tonight weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM channel 82. Go to SiriusXM.com/IAA Tonight trial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.